From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. You've all heard the story of the kid who almost died from eating a peanut. It's not just a story, it happens. Food allergies are not as uncommon as you may think. In fact, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the rate of food allergies in the U.S. has more than doubled over the past decade. By one estimate, more than 8 million Americans, mostly kids, suffer from food allergies. Why are more people affected? Are they all life-threatening? Are you concerned that you have a food allergy? Well, you can ask the allergist if you've got a question about it. We've got a man with the answers. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. 800-289-5869. Write to us. Conversation at KUOW.org. Dr. Dave Namy treats patients at the Everett branch of the Northwest Asthma and Allergy Center. He's also on the staff at Seattle Children's Hospital. And he's an assistant professor at pediatrics at the University of Washington. Thanks so much for coming in, Dr. Namy. We appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me. Thank you.
Let's start at the very beginning. What is a food allergy?
Well, a food allergy is, you know, you think about food adverse reactions. And you can look at true food allergy, which is an immediate process whereby you ingest something like a peanut and your body has a negative reaction to it. In other words, it has an antibody reaction to it. In other words, if you were exposed to a virus or a bacteria, same sort of reaction, but in this case, it's to that food. And so you can have symptoms like hives, swelling, etc.
Now, we see milk at the grocery store for people who are lactose intolerant, and we see a lot of baked goods that are gluten-free. Are those people suffering from a food allergy?
No, that would be more of a food intolerance. So it's very important to make that distinction between a true food allergy, or what we would call an IgE-mediated allergy, versus a food intolerance, for example, lactose intolerance.
And is a food allergy more serious, less serious?
Good question. So that a true food allergy, which would be IgE-mediated, IgE is an allergy antibody that we produce in response to certain foods. And in that case, that can be life-threatening, certainly, versus an intolerance. Certainly, someone who has lactose intolerance, it's not a fun thing to have, but that would not be life-threatening.
And I assume people who suffer from food allergies suffer for them in different degrees. Some people maybe just feel a little woozy, and others could be seriously, gravely affected by being exposed to a food they're allergic to.
Absolutely. And one important thing that we should point out is that previous reactions aren't always a great predictor of future reactions. So you can have, you know, oral itching and abdominal upset one day, and it could potentially progress depending on what that food is.
We're talking about food allergies. What are the most common foods that affect people these ways?
The most common foods, I think 90% of food allergy accounts for, you know, things like wheat, egg, milk, peanut, soy. You also have seafood and tree nuts in that realm as well.
Is there anything that connects them, that connects the food that people are allergic to? That sounds like very different foods.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think a lot of these foods, at least the wheat, you know, egg and milk, we ingest regularly. However, a lot of the proteins in foods that we can potentially have a life-threatening reaction to are what we would call, you know, heat-stable or acid-stable. In other words, if you heat it up, it's not going to change the protein that much more, and so you can still potentially react to it in an adverse way.
Now, the foods you're mentioning are whole foods. Is there such a thing as being allergic to a processed food?
Well, that's a good question, but I guess, you know, in processed foods, you know, you're going to have wheat and certain things. So I guess to answer your question, it's usually the whole protein that you're reacting to.
So it can always be traced back to that.
Exactly. And that's what you'd have to react to. And something like sugar, for example, is a very unlikely food allergy because it does not contain protein. Oils are another example. So it's the protein in the food that you react to.
If you've got a question for Dr. Namy, give me a call, 206-543-5869. He's taken some time out from his busy day to answer your questions. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. Write to us, conversation at KUOW.org, and we're talking about food allergies. We've heard these stories of near death from a food allergy. How commonly is it that serious?
You know, when you look at the rates of fatalities from food allergy per year, I would say 1 to 200 folks per year die from food allergy. Now, when you compare that, for example, to motor vehicle accidents, that's the prevalence of that is much higher, right? So your risk of fatality is certainly there. This really becomes very, very much of a quality of life issue for a lot of patients who have life-threatening food allergy, particularly children and their parents.
Sure, because they have to be afraid of foods.
Well, yeah, and it really affects, you know, school, you know, daycare, all of those factors.
Now, do we know what causes food allergies?
You know, if I figure that out, I might win the Nobel Prize. Well, you know, we'll see. You know, that's the one of the thoughts out there was the hygiene hypothesis, and that essentially means that we're just too sterile. But that we're not thinking applies as much to food allergy, but might apply more to inhalant or environmental allergies, such as dust mites and pollen, that sort of thing. So the whole premise behind that theory is that, again, we're too sterile, and so now when we're run into certain things like grass pollen, then we think of those things as being foreign, and our body creates an abnormal or an immune response to it, whereas in other patients or other people it does not.
Well, that makes me wonder, are food allergies an affliction of the developed world? Do we see people in developing countries also experiencing food allergies?
We do, and that's the thing. I mean, the hygiene hypothesis has really fallen out of favor when it comes to food allergies. So we really don't know why, and I think it's a good balance of genetics and environment that will potentially promote food allergy, but we really don't know why it's occurring. I think there are certain studies out there, for example, in the UK versus in Israel, when you look at patients or infants and children who are given peanut at an earlier age versus those who were told to avoid peanut, or pregnant mothers who were told to avoid peanut. And in the UK, for example, where avoidance was prevalent, that the rates of food allergy, peanut allergy specifically, was higher than in those patients in Israel. And so there, again, this is controversial, but there are some theories out there that now if you're avoiding certain foods for a length of time, that might be potentially detrimental.
Dr. Dave Damey is with me. He treats patients at the Everett branch of the Northwest Asthma and Allergy Center. We're talking specifically today about food allergies, and we're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. We have Angela on the line, and she's giving us a call today from Beacon Hill. Angela, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I was just getting more and more allergic to different foods. Like, I've always been able to eat sugar snap peas, and then they sent me to the emergency room, and now I got to carry an EpiPen. Anything I can do to, like, halt this or slow it down?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the question is, what reaction you had with the sugar snap pea?
I was snapping them, so the particles were getting in my face and my eyes shut, and then my breathing got worse.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a topical reaction like that and then respiratory symptoms, it is concerning. At this point, and that you bring up a great point, what do we do at this point? And we say just avoidance, right? And there are studies out there now looking at, oral immunotherapy, for example, for things like milk, egg, and peanut, where you can actually be desensitized to these foods. But these would be done as part of a clinical trial in a research setting where you're being monitored closely. But for somebody who's had a reaction to that, the snap peas, cooking it would probably be the right thing to do. Do you have reactions to cooked foods of the same thing?
Definitely not as bad, not at all. I mean, I can still eat apple pie, but the apple off the tree is killing me.
Okay, yeah. So the reaction that you're talking about is probably called oral allergy syndrome, and is often a reaction that we often have with fresh fruits and vegetables. Our body really confuses these fresh fruits and vegetables as being similar in protein structure to the pollen that we're allergic to in trees, for example. And so when we heat up that fresh fruit or vegetable, it denatures the protein and we no longer have a topical allergy to it. Now, the respiratory component of this is interesting. That's what would make me – that's what would probably warrant an EpiPen in that case.
Yep. I definitely got that.
Yeah. And so to answer your question – at this point, I would make sure that you're not eating raw versions of those foods and heating up the food. Also, if you are allergic to pollen, sometimes immunotherapy, which was essentially allergy shots, could desensitize you to the pollen, and therefore you might not react to those foods.
Hey, Angela, how quickly did this come on? Were you eating snap peas with no problem, and then suddenly there was a problem?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
1 week good, 1 week the next. And it was really fast. It was like I was driving myself to the emergency room, and then I was holding my eyes open to drive.
Angela, thanks a lot for telling us that story. A pretty scary story. So sometimes no problem, and then all of a sudden, a problem.
It can happen. And Andrew, the question is, are you allergic to pollen?
I'm sorry, I think I lost her.
Yeah. The question would be, is she allergic to pollen? And sometimes that can happen, and we don't know why. At certain age, sometimes you can become desensitized more to certain foods, and we don't know exactly why that is.
Now, these numbers from the Centers for Disease Control about the rate of food allergies doubling, you can take that a couple of different ways. We might be better at detecting it, or it might actually be increasing, and more of the cases are showing up. Do we know what's the case?
I think it's a combination of both. health. But we do know, regardless of detection, that it certainly is on the rise. And when you use that, when you control that factor out as far as detection goes.
Now, Alexandra wrote to us at conversation@kuow.org. You can write too if you'd rather put your words in writing. She writes, "My son has a nut allergy. We noticed some more mystery hives in March. Also, new hay fever. Could seasonal allergy compromise immune to start a food allergy?" I was wondering.
You know, we talked about how certain foods can relate to pollens, right? So almond would be a great example of a tree nut. And peanut can actually cross-react in some ways to, in some cases, birch pollen and also grass pollen. So it's possible that in peak pollen season, when you're seeing these, tree birch pollen or grass pollen, and you're ingesting that food that highly cross reacts, that maybe you might start noticing more of a reaction with that food, if that answered the question.
Andrea is with us from Capitol Hill. Andrea, what's your question for Dr. Namy?
Yes, hi. I have a 15-month-old daughter who was diagnosed with an egg allergy when she was 9 months old. The first pediatric allergist recommended that we incorporate baked goods into her diet that included eggs and egg protein so that she might get used to that allergen. Later, we met with another physician who recommended that we keep far away from those egg baked products. In your opinion, what do you think would be best for her in hopefully overcoming the allergy or outgrowing that allergy?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So, you know, if she had been eating baked goods and did not have significant eczema or reactions to egg and baked goods, the paradigm now has shifted where we're really recommending ingesting baked goods on a regular basis. And there's good data to suggest that ingestion of egg and baked goods can actually improve tolerance to egg. So if she's eating that, I would recommend it. If she's not eating it and maybe has never eaten it before, what often we do is a baked egg challenge where we'd actually get, you know, give you a recipe, you bring in cupcakes that you'd make, and then we'd give your child actually that baked good in incremental amounts and watch them very closely.
Hey, Andrea, I'm curious, how did you figure out that your 15-year-old daughter had an egg allergy? That's pretty young.
15 months. She ate some scrambled eggs and had some hives appear immediately around her mouth. They looked like mosquito bites. She's able to eat baked goods without an obvious reaction. The conservative pediatrician was concerned that she could be having a reaction, such as itching in her mouth, and not be able to tell us. He thought it was a bad idea to try the baked goods, although we have done so, and she seems to like them quite a bit.
So keep doing it. You're doing the right thing, and at some point, the likelihood of growing out of egg allergy is pretty darn good, I would say, depending on you know, how large, if she's ever had blood testing or skin testing for this sort of thing, you can potentially predict if a child's growing out of it. And then at some point when she's old enough, if we think it's safe, one can actually do an oral food challenge to the egg itself, because the likelihood of growing out of egg allergy is probably, you know, 60-70%, depending on the child.
Hey, Andrea, thanks a lot for your phone call. And is that the case with many other food allergies? You just, you don't get cured, you just grow out of them, they go away?
Yeah, I mean, if you're diagnosed in infancy or childhood, certain things like wheat, egg, and milk, you can grow out of probably, you know, giving you rough numbers here, about 60-70% of the time. Peanut allergy is much less, 20-25% of the time. But things like tree nuts and seafood, you're going to hold on to more likely.
Elizabeth wrote to us to say, "What can I do to avoid or prevent food allergies in my baby girl who is due in June?"
You know, so that, again, an area of controversy. And we really don't know. At this point, the recommendations are, even if there's, you know, allergies in the family, it's just to have a well-balanced diet, to not necessarily avoid certain foods. And so the recommendations are just to have a well-balanced diet. And there's nothing that we know of that can, at this point, definitely prevent that. There are some studies looking at probiotics and fish oil, for example, in the potential prevention of food allergy for your infant, although that's still not well established.
Let's go to Stelicum, where we've got on the line C. Is your name C?
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you very much for calling. What's your question?
My question is that I have been highly allergic to eggs my entire life, and I'm not sure when or how I was diagnosed. But even now, I was born in 63, and my mother had a flu shot when she was pregnant with me. And I'm not able to take flu shots because of the allergy. And I was wondering if that could have been a cause for my egg allergy, because flu shots are made with egg.
Well, that's a good question. And the question is, was your mom eating egg during that time while she was pregnant? You know, and the flu shot does does contain and has contained small amounts of egg protein in it, although albeit much less in recent years, particularly this past year with the influenza vaccine, we were able to give children who had actual egg anaphylaxis or a severe allergic reaction the vaccine without a problem. And we often just monitor them for 30 minutes afterwards. If I remember correctly now, there is going to be a vaccine next year that will be hopefully egg-free. But to answer your question, I think that would be less likely a cause. The amount of egg protein in the flu vaccine even back then was probably minute. And if your mom was eating egg, that would probably be the way that you may have gotten sensitized versus the flu shot.
See, thanks a lot for your phone call. Are there certain geographic pockets where people have more food allergies, and not simply because there might be more people like you who are around right. to diagnose them?
Geographically, you're talking about in the United States?
Yeah. Do we find for some reason, some certain areas, a lot more people have food allergies and correcting for any other variables?
Not that I know of, okay. Not that I've read about. We don't think there's necessarily within the United States any geographic prevalence.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've mentioned a couple times the idea of getting exposed to small amounts of the food allergen to perhaps boost your immune system so that right. you wouldn't be affected by it, which is a common thing. It's used in vaccines all the time. Right. Is that the general treatment for these allergies?
That's the general treatment. You know, something like allergy shots for environmental allergies has been around for quite a while and is FDA approved for things like pollen, dust mites, et cetera, and has been it's very effective for that. So the premise is essentially the same, and this is not FDA approved yet in regards to food, but there are many clinical trials now going on throughout the United States looking at milk, egg, and peanut and some other foods where the whole premise is you're giving that food in very small amounts and increasing it over time and essentially desensitizing the immune system. So remember, this is a food allergy is a kind of a hyperimmune response to that food, and now you're calming everything down essentially.
What can you do if you don't want to find out you have a food allergy when you eat something and all of a sudden your throat swells up or you have to drive to the hospital right. prying your eyes open, as we heard in an earlier account? Is there any way to check it out ahead of time?
Yes. And now, you know, one can do skin testing or blood testing for true food allergy. Typically, this should be guided strongly by the clinical history. So screening a patient for food allergies generally is not recommended because whenever you do a skin test or a blood test, let's say theoretically to 100 foods, you might have a lot of clinically irrelevant results.
Dr. Dave Namy, thank you so much for coming in. I learned a lot.
You're welcome. Thanks. A pleasure to be here.
We appreciate you taking some time on your day off to stop by. Dr. Namy treats patients at the Everett branch of the Northwest Asthma and Allergy Center. He's on the staff at Seattle Children's Hospital, and he's an assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of Washington. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.